Life insurers put life into the things you live for. The new factory that's hiring your neighbors. Maintenance on the bridge that keeps traffic flowing. The paycheck that puts pizza night on the table. Life insurers contribute $8 trillion to the U.S. economy through bond purchases and other investments. And protect the financial security of 90 million American families, like yours. See how life insurers put life into America at ACLI.com. Paid for by the American Council of Life Insurers.
Welcome to Birch Lane, where you can find a fresh take on classic furniture and decor. Every piece is hand-picked and crafted to last for years to come. At Birch Lane, you can explore everything from outdoor sets to living room furniture and everything in between. And get fast, free shipping. It's classic style for joyful living. Shop now at birchlane.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
This week marks 10 years since Ireland voted yes to the marriage equality in a historic referendum. I know a lot of our listeners have been getting in touch with us since I mentioned this at the start of the programme today, just sharing their own memories of referendum count day, where they were, people travelling back from all different corners of the world to vote in the referendum election. We'd love to hear your memories. If you want to keep sharing those with us, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But Jane Clark is with me today. Jane is a, poet from Roscommon, now living in Wicklow. You're very welcome to the programme, Jane. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much, Andrea.
You might explain to listeners why this referendum a decade ago was so important to you.
Well, that sunny Saturday was one of the happiest days of my life. And I suppose it was about equality and about belonging and about feeling that at last I was equal in my family, in my community, in my country. And, you know, that meant the world to me. I didn't even know how much it would mean to me until it happened. And then, of course, I'm a poet. I had already been writing. My first book came out in 2015. But I realise now, looking back, that it had a huge effect on my writing, that it freed up my creativity. And that really makes sense, because discrimination is all about silencing and censorship and hiding. And then if you're suddenly, none of that's applying, and so it's very freeing.
This heavy hand sort of, you know, in many ways gripped over you.
Yeah.
And that's all of a sudden 10 years ago, that's lifted, that's removed. How has it changed things in the last year, in the last 10 years, Jane?
Well, there was, you know, that's what was really amazing at the time, was realising how happy the whole country was about this. And I don't think lots of us queer people saw that coming. And So there was that joy and that sense of then, you know, people coming out so much easier in their communities all around the country. So then it became just all the more, this is part of who we are as Irish people. In a way, people had to leave their communities before that. They left rural Ireland, they left Ireland to go to places where there was more freedom. Yeah. And so that's a huge change. Visibility is a huge change. And of course, that helps then in every family. There's mothers and fathers around Ireland now today who it was easier for them when their children came out to them because society had changed.
Yeah. Well, society said, it's OK. We accept this. We want this. We came out in our droves. We travelled home to people who were eligible to vote to make sure that we cast that vote. And we wanted Ireland to be part of something that was really historic. When it was announced that we were going to hold the marriage equality referendum, what was your feeling? Because there was no real way of knowing, Jane, until voting day, vote count day, that it was going to pass.
Well, look, I mean, myself and my wife never thought we would see marriage equality in our lifetime. So it was intensely emotional. We were just so delighted that there was going to be a referendum, really and truly. That mattered so much. Civil partnership was a great step. But like, we were really proud of the politicians who took that risk, because it was risky back then.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, you know, we did some campaigning in Wicklow. And it wasn't easy going to people's doorsteps to say, will you give me the right to have what's your right?
I was going to ask you that. Do you remember the canvas? How hard of a canvas, was it? Because you had people like you, and I don't know your background, Jane, but I imagine you'd an awful lot of non-political people who never would have canvassed for a politician in their lives were out knocking on doors and handing out leaflets.
Yes. And I mean, I was well used to campaigning for other people and for other groups, you know, as a, as an activist for community development. But it was very different to campaign for myself and to be asking something for myself. But I have to say the canvas and the whole campaign, as you probably know, Andrea, it was so positive and it was so well run. And the messages were all about, you know, the stories of individual people. So it was very respectful. I'm very respectful to people on the doorstep. Mm. If somebody didn't agree, you just went on, you let them be. There was no antagonism
at all.
Did
you have much of that? Did you have much negativity in the doors?
Yeah, there was some. There was some. And sometimes you'd be surprised. And but we just had that message in our minds. Mm. Just respect anybody who doesn't see it your way.
Yeah.
And move on.
So vote day, count day comes. And I remember, was working here, I remember it well. We were part of the live election coverage. I was on the later end of that night, but the votes were coming in, you know, thick and fast at that stage. And we were talking to people like yourself, Jane, and many others at Dublin Castle about what it means and just the emotion. It was probably one of the most emotional elections or referendums that I've certainly ever covered in my career. Roscommon.
Yeah,
your own home county.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you heard that wasn't?
Well, it was hard. Yeah, it was hard. I was disappointed, taken aback, surprised. But I understand now. I mean, part was the very thing that I said to you. You know, lesbians and gays and bisexuals leave rural areas. So probably people in Roscommon didn't know enough people. And then probably an older population, probably more religious. You know, you have to take all of those things in account. But I mean, can I tell you, Roscommon now has a pride parade for the first time.
Yeah.
And this year I'm going to be the Grand Marshal.
Fantastic.
So,
right.
You know, so there's a sense of, you know, Roscommon is a safe place to be queer. And it can celebrate, and there's so many allies. So maybe even more so because of that vote, we became aware of, oh, it's important to say we are here, we're part of this community.
So now 10 years on, have we got it all right? Is there more we could do?
It's very worrying, the rise in hate crime. And again, the far right is influencing that. And we just have to be absolutely vigilant. Schools are doing a great job. You know, community groups are doing, youth workers belong to organisations like that. But we just have to be vigilant. Andrea, I'm really worried about the way things are going.
Okay. You see a change, you see a shift.
You do see a shift.
Right.
Not in my community, not amongst the people I know, but I know that young people are in more danger on the street at night.
Yeah, we've heard some of these stories on the show.
And we have to keep thinking, how do we keep society open?
Okay. Let me bring in Jane. Thank you for travelling up today and sharing your experience with us. I've Joe with me, I think, on the line today. Joe, good afternoon.
How you doing, Andrea?
Good. Well, your memories, Joe, of referendum day 10 years ago.
Yeah, so myself and my husband, my now husband, were living in Melbourne in 2015. And it was just such a joyous, momentous day where our phone was buzzing and we were celebrating with some gay Irish friends that were living in Melbourne. It was euphoric, to be honest, and similar to what Jane said. It was impossible to know how it would feel until it happened to us. You know, it's just such a lovely warm hug from your country and your community. Like, in the lead up to it, it's unbelievable to think that your rights and your identity is so on the line, and it's down to everybody in your country's vote on whether they think you should be equal. But it was we couldn't have had a better response. It was just it was wonderful.
Yeah, you're living in Australia, is that right?
Was living in Australia, yeah. So we moved home then in 2016. We got married in 2018. We live in a rural town in Kilkenny. We live in a very picturesque Greignamana. And we've just been received by the local community so well. We've had two children since. We have our son Tig, who is now 2, and our daughter Muirin, who is just over 8 months.
Ah, fantastic. So really, yeah, Joe, this week, 10 years ago, like, your life has just changed in so many ways. It's unbelievable.
It's unreal. Yeah. And like, the Ireland that I left, I wasn't quite sure about how comfortable I fitted in or slotted into the narrative, being a very Catholic country. You know, it's kind of keep your head down and try and not make yourself noticed. But the Ireland that we came home to is just so different. We don't get any bad vibes here. In our local community, I know, as Jane alluded to, there is a lot of violence and hate crimes towards our community in the larger cities. But in rural Ireland, I'm so proud of our little country. I think we're punching above our weight, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible for, as you said, such a small country and small population to have achieved something so historic a decade ago, and been here to chat about it 10 years on is pretty fantastic. Joe, thanks a million for getting in touch with us. Jane, I mentioned at the very outset that you're a poet by trade.
Yes.
Aside from being an activist and involved in the community. You too, like Joe, have since got married.
That's right. Yeah, we got married in 2016, having been together already 24 years.
Wow, yeah, so it really was a day you never thought would come here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, I really appreciate you coming to join us today. You, as I mentioned, you are a poet, and I suppose really to maybe finish off today's conversation, something a little different, you've penned something for us that you want to read to listeners.
These were my vows, Andrea. Vows. I can't promise it's chiselled from gold in spirals that speak of forever. I can't tell you it's wise as a mountain with pines that reach for heaven. I can't promise it's flawless as honey gathered by bees in bell heather. I can't say it's simple as silk spun from cocoon into treasure. But I promise it's rooted as rowan with berries that sing to September. I promise its to and its fro will surprise like Glenmalure weather, a seasoned rowboat, moored or unmoored at your pleasure.
It's beautiful. Jane, listen, I really appreciate you joining us today to share your memories with us. Thanks so much, Jane Clark, Joe as
Thanks
well, in Kilkenny. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday. On News Talk.
Life insurers put life into the things you live for. The new factory that's hiring your neighbors. Maintenance on the bridge that keeps traffic flowing. The paycheck that puts pizza night on the table. Life insurers contribute $8 trillion to the U.S. economy through bond purchases and other investments. And protect the financial security of 90 million American families. Like yours. See how life insurers put life into America at ACLI.com. Paid for by the American Council of Life Insurers.